Hey guys, welcome back to the chat. So, with the holidays and everything, you guys know I disappear for the holidays. I'm back now, and I want to talk about, you know, stuff that's been going on. Stuff I've been watching on Netflix this lovely holiday season, and a little bit before it. So I'll probably talk about two shows that I've been watching, three if I can sit down and rewatch one, and that have got me super excited. And I'm actually here for it. I can count myself as a fan of these two shows. One is The Crown and the other is Alice in Borderlands. I will talk about Alice in another episode because I have to rewatch Alice in Borderlands to kind of get a real good feel for it. But for The Crown, I'm going to break it down season by season. So these will be like multiple episodes. And since season 5 isn't coming out to like 2022, I have time to do all 4 seasons and talk about them separately. So, if you don't want any spoilers for season 1, I will tell you right now, it was good. Go watch it, and you watch it, enjoy it, come back, and then we'll talk about season 1 of The Crown. So after the bell, that means we're getting into spoiler territory. You've been warned after the bell, okay? All right, I'll see you guys in a minute. Okay, are they gone? All right, let's get into spoilers. So, season 1 of The Crown is the pretty much beginning years, the first 10 years of Queen Elizabeth II's reign. And I have to say, Claire Foy bodied this role. I loved her as the queen. I like Olivia Colman too, but we'll get into that when season 3 rolls around. She was so perfect. And I know people were saying like, she's boring. I don't see it. But I don't think, because her character's not boring. She's not playing a boring character. She's playing a very stoic, emotionless character. And that can be misconstrued as being boring. And I got exactly what she was doing. And she's so pretty. She was very pretty as the queen. I loved it. And there was like subtle touches. She had subtle emotional moments. Where, especially when Matt Smith, who played Prince Philip. Oh man, I will get into him in a second, but she did a great job. I have not seen anything else from her. I know she won an award for this portrayal, and rightfully so. So she plays Queen Elizabeth II in her early 20s to say mid to late 30s. She plays the queen for the earliest moments of her reign. So I think the queen ascended to the throne when she was 25, 26. So fairly young. She only got like 4 years of being married. They lived in Malta where Philip was, you know, doing his naval career. And when King George died, she pretty much wasn't there. She was one of the last people to hear about her father dying. And I don't know if this was like accurate, but I can imagine with her being on tour, especially back then, it was hard to get a hold of people. That had to be so like upsetting. And then you can't even mourn the way you would want to. Because as if you guys don't know, I lost my mother in 2020. And I can only imagine not being able to mourn properly. And I kind of felt bad. Like for the character. I know the queen, she's in her 90s now. She's been past the moment, but just to see this young woman pretty much lose her father and then lose her identity essentially in the same day. Because once, when you are next in line to the crown, you pretty much lose your name unless you have a name that you're willing to go with. Because if you think about it, King Edward, who abdicated the throne, his name was David. King George VI, her Elizabeth's father, his name was Albert. She kept her name, which was perfect. And it was kind of funny because her mother's name was Elizabeth as well. So to just lose everything. You lose your freedom. You lose your home. You lose being able to go where you want, do what you want, be the person you want to be. She can't even have like views on politics because it is the crown's, it is said that the crown cannot show any signs during political stuff. And just her not being able to have a point of view, for cabinet to essentially control pretty much all she does, anything she wanted to do, cabinet was like, nope, you got to do this. And I'm like, oh, I hate to be queen. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I love the power. It's like, it seems so controlling. And you can you know it's controlling because the royals, their months are booked. Like, I'm pretty sure they are loving the fact that COVID hit because they can sit around their homes. Because I won't say the castle because they don't all live at the castle. Just the queen and prince, the prince and Prince Philip. Like, low-key, thank you, crown, for allowing me to look up, because I didn't know what Prince Philip's title was. I knew he was a duke. I didn't know if he got the king title or if he was still a prince. Why not? He was a prince. I was like, huh, interesting. Like, this show has made me Google so much stuff just to check. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people do that. Like, there's plenty of exaggerated stuff. If you guys want me to do things that were wrong and things that were right, I will. Just let me know. But it was just so interesting. And to see this young woman trying to do her best, trying to emulate her father, that was one of the problems I had. She emulated her father way too much, and she never actually changed with the times. Like, little by little, she did like a little bit. She did like a taste. So as times went on, like when she started wanting to interact with more people, and again, we'll get to that like in season 3, because that didn't happen until later on. Because season 1 and season 2, she will start, like, she was stuck in her way. She wanted to just really kind of deal with the people she was used to dealing with. And that's not a bad thing. If I'm talking too fast, I'm sorry. I talk fast when I get excited. It's not a bad thing that she wanted to just deal with what she knew. Elizabeth is smart. She's not book smart, which they talked about. She's very smart with what she has to be. And that's because back then, you weren't expected to really know anything other than what your station would allow. And they didn't know until Elizabeth was a kid that she would be taking the throne. So her education prior to was just a basic education, and then she got thrusted into becoming an heir, and her education changed. So now she has to learn like all these stuff with the constitution and everything that has to do with parliament and how to deal with prime ministers, which she had a lot of actually. She's like the longest ruling monarch in history at this point. And just to see all the people who would essentially baby her. Like, Philip would constantly say that the cabinet was infantilizing him, when in truth, they were infantilizing both of them. They only ever told Elizabeth what she needed to know, what they deemed she needed to know. So if one of the members was sick, hell, Winston Churchill had a stroke, multiple strokes, under her watch when he was prime minister, and she didn't know any of it, and it was because they didn't want her to worry. And I'm like, oh girl, it's the queen, she need to know this stuff, and y'all out here like, nah, it's cool, it's great. And I'm like, y'all are such dicks. And I did like Claire. She wasn't my favorite character. She wasn't my least favorite character. That'd go to the other queen, Queen Mother Elizabeth. I did not like her. And Tommy Lassels. I'll get to Tommy and her in a minute. I'll do like them on their own little section. But #, fight me. Martin Charteris was the best private secretary for Elizabeth. I don't care about Michael Adeen. I don't care about Tommy Lassels. Michael was fine. Again, season 2, we'll talk. Tommy was just too manipulative. I will get to Tommy. Oof. All right. Let's talk about Prince Philip. So I've seen that people do not like Prince Philip in this one, and the show did give him the shaft. Oh man. Like, I don't know who got it worse. Prince Philip, David, or Charles in season 4. Like, that was even cool. So, Prince Philip is, of course, the Queen's husband, but he does not have king title. He's actually a prince in Greece, and in Greece, Los pretty much had a revolt and became a democratic state. Well, democratic. I don't know if they're technically democratic, but they adopted democracy. And Prince Philip pretty much had to flee the country. He gave up all of his titles and everything to marry Elizabeth. And he says, it's like the show wants him in the nuts. They make everything he does seem like it was pre-planned by Lord Mountbatten, who I guess I could talk about when I talk about the Queen and Tommy. I'll put all three of them like in their little section, and then I'll throw David in there too. They all need to be talked about. So Philip is a man in the 1950s who pretty much has nothing to do. His whole life has been turned upside down. He can't do anything he wants. He can't get a job. He can't even like determine where they're gonna live. His kids can't have his last boy he would want. And I had to look that up. I did not know that their name was hyphenated for the children. And that's kind of cool that Elizabeth fought for that. And I mean, she picked her battles when it came to his stuff he wanted, but it's like, he couldn't do anything. He was pretty much stuck in this situation. And I know, like, you had to have known what you were walking into, but you kind of feel bad for him at some points. Like, the show didn't. The show did not feel bad for Philip. They took every moment to make him out to be the villain when he wasn't. They made Winston Churchill more sympathetic than they did Philip. And I understand his point of view. When you marry into the royal family, you essentially lose your identity. You can't work. You can't really do anything because your life is at high risk. If you do work, you have to work from like home. You have to have like that type of situation. You can't run a business or do what you're used to. So like, I mean, look at Kate Middleton. She went to college, got a degree and everything. She can't use it because she's the wife of the future king. So her life is essentially doing charities and stuff through your an allowance. You can't make money for yourself. And it's really disheartening. Like, I know the further down the line you are, you can do that stuff, but the people right there, you can't. And Philip, unfortunately, went from being in the military to being essentially a housewife, because all he could do is just do stuff for Elizabeth. And that made some resentments. And he pretty much went and did his own thing and tried to buck them. And what people don't know is Prince really wanted to help modernize the family. He wanted people to see his family in a different light. He didn't want them to be this untouchable force. And that really did happen. They made him a little more vocal in the show, but he's always been for modernization to what he knows. And I think Charles gets a lot of that from Philip. And I don't really know what Prince Charles and Prince Philip's relationship is like, but they made it very cold in this one. Like, you could tell he cared for him, but he didn't understand him. And Charles only really got on with his grandmother at the most. I know they like put this whole thing where Mountbatten kind of adopted Charles as well, in a sense. And it just, to me, I think the show was a little unfair to Philip. He's an outsider. Like, the show felt like he was an outsider. And there would be like times where you just did not see Philip. He was there for like no episodes. And it's like they wanted to focus on certain characters. And he's not the most interesting character of the bunch, at least to the show. I find his story arc very interesting. Somebody who was bucking the system to somebody who's pretty much accepted where he's at by season 4. And it's kind of sad. To me, he is what they wanted for Diana. They wanted Diana to assimilate, and she didn't. Philip did. And people are like, okay, Philip can stay. And that's kind of what they want for a marriage into the royal family. They just want you to assimilate and be like just the perfect accessory to the person you've married. Well, you don't view them as that way, but this is what the public views. Like I said, I had to look up Philip's title. I knew he was alive. There are people who don't even know he's alive. How messed up is that? So, I want them to do more with him in the coming seasons. I know they're not, because he's getting up there in age. We're getting to where Philip is just pretty much just the queen consort, and he does what she does around the house, and his children are grown, so he's just gonna be doing him the next few seasons. I foresee that we're probably gonna see less of Philip come season 5 and 6. So now that we got Philip out of the way, let's get to the wild child, and that's Margaret. Oh, to a quick little side note, Matt Smith played him amazingly. I missed him in season 3. The one who came in later, I liked him too. But Matt Smith, if you're a Doctor Who fan, I'm not, but I know he's in Doctor Who. You know what I'm talking about. He's a great actor. So let's get to Princess Margaret. Now he comes to our fan favorite, and that's Princess Margaret, played by Vanessa Kirby in season 1 and season 2. So, I love Vanessa Kirby. I have not seen her in anything, but her voice is like butter. I love her voice. I could sit there and listen to her go off on Elizabeth all day. And I will talk about, in its own separate thing, the relationship between the sisters, because that needs its own thing. The two of them be ready to throw hands sometimes. So, one of the things I really liked about Princess Margaret was she reminded me of Philip a lot. Like, their characters had very similar arcs. They were both pretty much free-floating. They didn't know what they were going to do. They constantly asked for new stuff to do, and they couldn't because just the way the system was set up. And there was stuff that Elizabeth would outright not let them do, and we'll get to that in a second. But it's just frustrating. I can imagine that your family, pretty much everybody in your family knows what they're doing in their lives, and you're just kind of there. And she didn't know what to do. I mean, she couldn't really do anything. Like, once she became princess, her life pretty much is charities and ribbon cutting, and Elizabeth wasn't allowing her to do much of that because Margaret has this very bold and bright and in-your-face kind of personality, and at the time it's very frowned upon. It still is a little bit. So everybody used to get on to her for being an individual, essentially. Like, how dare you be individualistic? And anytime she tried to do anything, like literally during the season, she was asked to step in for her mother so her mother can go take a break. And, you know, she made a speech where she showed her personality, and they pretty much took everything from her because she did that. And they made the queen come back because they didn't want anybody who was like King Edward. They wanted everybody to just kind of be this blank slate and just do what you're told, read the script like we wrote it. Like, they could not have Margaret as queen. She probably would be the better choice for queen just based off her personality. It's just bold enough to be a ruler, but at the same time, it's not stable enough to be a ruler. There's like a really interesting double-edged sword when it comes to her personality, because she is not the most stable of the characters. And I wouldn't even say like in her life. Like, she really doesn't know what she's doing, but then she gets angry. She's very impulsive. She'll just take off sometimes. And I love her character. But a lot of her stuff in season one was her marrying Peter Townsend and dealing with the cabinet telling her she couldn't. And they gave her all which kind of reasons why not. First, it was like, oh, well, you know, he's too old. And she's like, so, you know, well, he's a divorcee. Which really was the main reason they did not want her to marry him, because he was divorced, even if he was the innocent party. And he wasn't, because he was cheating on his wife with Margaret. But, you know, shit happens. People don't know about that. But, so they pretty much strung her along until they wouldn't get married. Like, real life, they strung him along, and Margaret just did not want to give up her position and her family. And that's kind of how they played it. They pretty much told her, and I think that's dipping into season two, they made it so that if she got married, she'd be in exile for a while. And she did not want that. And Peter didn't want that for her. So they ended up breaking up. Actually, no, this happened at the end of season one. So I'm good. So they waited 2 years to be told no still. And I'm just like, oh, that's gonna hurt. And she ended up like resenting Elizabeth for this. And Elizabeth the real life, she did try to change the law so that her sister can get married, and they wouldn't allow it. And it's just heartbreaking that she had to essentially just marry somebody else just because Peter Townsend happened to be a divorcee. And I think honestly, if they would have got married, they would have stayed married until they both died. She died in like 1992, I think. So, you know, it really sucks that she couldn't be with the man she loved. And Peter, he was a pretty cool guy. I know Philip gave him like shit in the show, saying he was boring. And here's the thing, when you have somebody like Margaret, you need somebody who's a little more boring. It kind of helps round them out. Just like Elizabeth is kind of boring, so she married Philip. Albert was kind of boring, so he married Elizabeth, not his daughter, his wife. You need a stronger personality in the marriage. So, like, I'm pretty quiet, but my husband isn't. So you're always going to need that one who's a little more out there in a relationship. And I think when she married Tony, he was out there and she was out there, and they just butt heads. If it was Peter, he would have grounded her over time. And people are like, grounded her? I'm like, you know what I mean? He would have settled her. And he wouldn't have stopped her from being who she is. But I think he would have helped her relax. And that was what she needed. And the person she needed, she couldn't have. And she ended up marrying the wrong person altogether, in my opinion. So that's Margaret. Again, if you can hear that, that's just coffee making. Gotta make coffee. So now I want to talk about the relationship between Elizabeth and Margaret, because I think that was at times more important than Elizabeth's relationship with her own husband. So in the show, multiple times in the seasons, we come across this constant repeating battle of Elizabeth being jealous of Margaret and Margaret being jealous of Elizabeth. Like I said, Margaret had the more out there personality, which would be great for somebody who's in a political position. She had to be a public figure. Margaret is a very public figure, but she is not allowed to do as much as she'd like. And then on top, you take away the person she loves and pretty much leave her with nothing to do. So therefore she started drinking more. And anytime she'd ask for something to do, people gave her reasons why she could not do it. And a lot of the time it was because Elizabeth was afraid, in the show, I'm not talking about real life, that Margaret would outdo her or show her up, and people would be like, well, Margaret is the better one. You know, she just did. And it comes from something King George would say, where Elizabeth is my pride and Margaret is my joy. And it was his way of saying he loves both of them, but the sisters took it more as a favorite thing. And Margaret has said that she's her father's favorite. And based off the show, I could see that. I could see where Elizabeth is more like the studious one, and she does what her father's told, and he loves her. He loves both of his daughters. Let's put that straight. He showed love to both of his daughters. But you can tell when he was with Margaret, he was a lot more relaxed. And I think because her personality lends to that. Like, I could see him and Elizabeth, you know, going for a nice walk and talking and all that. I could see him and Margaret just, like, going out for a drive, laughing, singing, playing. You know, that's the relationship. Relationships are different with your kids. And a lot of the times it would come up in arguments between the two of them that Elizabeth was boring and plain and Margaret was out there and fun and, you know, the fun sister. And I guess that's kind of the privilege of being the younger child. Like, I'm not saying, like, the privilege of the money, even if they didn't have money like that. When they weren't princesses, I mean, they were always princesses, but this was something he said before he was king. So it's just how their personalities worked. So because they were so opposite, like I said, Margaret's a lot like Philip. They butt heads a lot in the show. And a lot of it comes from Margaret, begging for something to do. She has nothing to do. She's the only royal who really doesn't have a place. She just kind of does what's asked of her, of course. And I know in real life she kind of helped a lot with society stuff when it came to Elizabeth. Like, if she's too busy, Margaret would step in. And they did that one time and she got, like, reprimanded for it. And I don't know how the show's playing at this. Like, they make it out like it was a bad thing, but then they make it out like it's a good thing. Like, they kind of reinforce that Margaret's just too out there and too crazy and fun and fresh to be queen. But at the same time, it's like, you can see, though, she puts people at ease. You have people sitting there laughing, joking. I mean, they sent her in season three or four to go meet with Lyndon B. Johnson, and they're cutting up, and like, they want their cake, they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to say, like, no, she's too radical to be in the public eye. We can't control her the way we control Elizabeth. But at the same time, they're like, but it's a good thing. And I don't know what the show's trying to say when it comes to Margaret being in the public eye as much as she would want to. But, you know, they point blank show that Elizabeth is jealous of her. So when she does do it, you have Elizabeth just scowling. And I'm like, oh my God. I don't think Elizabeth cared that much. I think they made this, they shot this thing up with steroids. They made it so dramatic. Like, she's evilly staring at the camera. Like, how dare Margaret? Like, she even sent Peter Townsend away early, even though he was supposed to have like a couple days with Margaret before he left. That was shady. She sent Peter Townsend to Brussels while Margaret was in Rhodesia, which I think is in Africa, and on a Commonwealth tour of her own, and literally shipped him off to Brussels because he got more attention from the media while he was working with her. And it's like, you knew this would happen. You had to have known this was happening because they were in the press already before you left. And you promised her. And then you went back on your promise. And then you lied. Oh man, that hit me. That was the only time I didn't like Elizabeth. I was like, that's the only thing about Elizabeth that they constantly show that I don't like. Because it pops up with other characters too, like Diana. And we know Diana and the royals had like icy relationship, but that was later, not at first. At first, the queen loved her. It was more to do with how she was handling stuff that the queen stopped liking her. And I will get into that when we get to season 4. But oh man, That's some shady shit. That was shady, Elizabeth. How you gonna do your sister like that? I have sisters, and I don't need, I mean, yeah, I probably would, given, like, the circumstance. I can't say I wouldn't. I wouldn't mind if, like, he was, like, if their spouse was more popular than me. But, like, do what you gotta do. It's just messed up. Like, you promise them, like, yeah, you can have 3 days together before he goes to Brussels. And they're like, nah, fam. Change your mind. So now we come to the people I can't stand in the show. I'm joking. I liked Jonathan Lithgow's version of Winston Churchill. I think he did really good. I found him sometimes funnier than I should have. But he's still Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill is kind of... I know it's not the popular thing to say. He was pretty narcissistic. It was just... He was Winston Churchill. But he wasn't in the show enough for me to be like, I hate him. I didn't hate him. I saw exactly why he did things. He wasn't my favorite, but he wasn't the worst. I did appreciate, though, that, you know, he did what either was perceived as popular or not. Like with the fog episode, I think in episode 3. And everybody was like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? And he, like, physically could not do anything. He's just like, it's gonna lift. And granted, he could have made better measures. But the fact that, I mean, they wanted him to do acts of God. And he's like, what are you gonna do? He literally got in trouble for it almost. Like, I mean, man knew his stuff though. So. But he's not the one I disliked the most. And this person is the one I dislike the most. David and Wallace Simpson. I did not hate them. I think the show wanted you to. I think the creators wanted you to. But then they also, like, played up what they did, like, in the name of love and all that. So it's again one of those, like, I don't know what the show wants me to feel, but okay. So David was the previous king before George. He abdicated to marry Wallace Simpson, who was a divorcee, and they pretty much exiled him, and he lived in Paris. And he could come home anytime he wanted. Like, he mostly came for, like, special occasions, like weddings or the funeral of his brother. His mother was sick, so he came back for that when she died. He wanted to come for the coronation, but because the way they pretty much set him up, that they said his wife could come, and they knew he wasn't going to come if his wife could come. So it's another one they wanted to have their cake and eat it too. They wanted us to understand that the abdication was a bad thing, and also they romanticized it. They wanted it to be like, oh, he did it for love, but at the same time they kind of demonized it. They're like, yeah, but his duty. So I didn't dislike it, but I knew he was sneaky. But I mean, everybody's sneaky in this show. This show is like polite Game of Thrones. That's probably why I like it. And I mean, that's just David. His whole character is, he comes and goes. He gives advice occasionally when he deems it okay. Like, if he deems something's messed up, he will give his advice. And I mean, that's about it with David and Winston. So let's get into the ones I really hate. The Queen Mother and Tommy Lascelles. Again, Martin Charteris would have been a better private secretary than both Tommy and Michael Ledeen. Tommy, let me save Tommy for last, because he gets more involved in stuff than the Queen does. She just makes him do it for her. The Queen is a bitter Betty. I just, like, anytime you bring up David's name, it's like she just wants to punch him in the balls. Like, I have never seen a woman want to kick a man in the grapes so much that had never done anything to her. Yes, his abdication inadvertently killed the king. Because of the stress, he smoked more. And lung cancer is what killed him. But at the same time, it's been 17 years and she's still sitting here like, I want to make him poor and destitute. Like, when she tried to get his allowance suspended after the king died, that was some petty shit. And it's so fucked up because you know he can't work. You know he can't go get a normal job because of the way you were taught as a king or queen. And he's not a citizen anywhere. He's not actually gotten citizenship anywhere. So he's essentially a foreign refugee in Paris right now. He can't get any work. He's not allowed to get a job. He is dependent on that allowance to live. Not even like, oh, just so he can live lavishly. They rent a house from the city of Paris. And yes, they host parties and stuff. But I mean, what else can he do? He can't. That's like part of the agreement. He can't be in public life, which means he can't get a job. And she wanted to cut his allowance just because. Like, no real reason. He didn't come at her sideways. She just like, I want to because I don't like him. And she doesn't like Wallace. So therefore, anytime he brought up like just wanting to bring his wife around, she was like, hell no, we're not bringing that floozy around. And it's just to the point. She wasn't a floozy. Technically, David was the floozy. He was with a married woman and she was divorced. And then they remarried and they lived the rest of their lives together. And, she was just so bitter. Like, the only nice time we actually, like, seen her was when she was buying that castle in Scotland. And she kind of flirted with the old man, and it was kind of nice because, like, no, he didn't know who she was, and they just kind of just talked like normal. And, like, that was the only nice episode I saw of her. Any other time they had her on, like, I just was like, oh, here it comes. Here she comes. Like, when Elizabeth got on to her about the fact that she wasn't properly educated, and then she tried to throw back, well, I don't see you making strides in that front either, talking about her kids. And I'm like, well, legitimately, that's Philip's job. Philip's job was to make sure that education was handled, not Elizabeth. Elizabeth is queen in terms of a king. She's in charge of a country. Your job is to educate your children, and then just like tell her, like don't stress over things you're not good at. And it's like, bitch, no, you did not educate me properly. I can't hold conversations properly. And then she like turned to him. I just could not with her. She just always, like, where Margaret knows she's royal and is a little stuck up, Queen Elizabeth is very stuck up. I mean, just when they, like, jumping ahead, season 2, they decide to start opening up the palace a little more. And literally, she is bitching. She's putting her gloves on. She's upset that she has to meet the common folk. And she's more used to dealing with aristocrats and heroes and all that stuff. And here she comes. Like, I don't want to touch him. So, oh, I couldn't stand her. And then I couldn't stand her little lap dog, Tommy. I could not. I just, the fact that a secretary had so much power. I get, you're the private secretary to the queen. You are the private secretary to her father and her uncle before then. But the fact that this man, this secretary, he's literally just the queen's assistant. That's all he is. And the fact that he's over here telling her what she can and can't do, who she can and can't have as her new secretary as he's retiring. Just because you trained Michael and Martin in a certain order does not mean that she can't pick one. Like, you have two. She wants to pick one. Why couldn't she? Again, Martin and her had a prior work relationship. They were comfortable around each other. He knew how to do his job. Like, obviously, when you were in England, or when Michael was in England, Martin was the one who usually went off with her. And he was like, you know, when she was younger, and he would, like, you know, pretty much handle stuff. When Margaret was stuck doing work for Elizabeth, Martin was there, and he made sure, you know, for the most part, I mean, Margaret don't listen. So, I mean, there's only so much he could do on that front. But you just popping in and out. And then, like, The queen would call him to help her reprimand her grown-ass daughters. I could not stand Tommy Lassells. He was such a pain in the ass the whole show. Even like later seasons, I'm like, jeez, did he die yet? Like, that sounds horrible. But it's like, he was old in season one. Why is he still here in season three? So, I mean, he really didn't show up that much. And once Martin Charteris took over, I was like, yay, finally, she has the one that actually fits her. Because he never talked down to her. Like, anytime he tried to, like, help. Like, low-key, Martin was the best secretary for Elizabeth. He would always try to help, or if something seemed, like, out of touch, because Tommy and Michael Adeen were out of touch, they're older. They never saw anything wrong with the speeches she made. And Michael was like, well, it just seems a little, like, insulting. And they're like, no, it's fine. We gave it to her. She approved. And it's like, yeah, she approved because she trusted you. And you guys kind of let her stray a lot of times just because y'all had your own heads stuck up your asses. And I'm done with them. Would I recommend the show? Yes, I would definitely recommend the show. If you like historical dramas and things like that, then this is the perfect show for you. If you like just dramatic inter-family fighting or whatever, it's there. It's like for the history snobs like myself and for the soap opera snobs. So it's really fun. If you like costumes and stuff, I could do a whole episode on that. I would like to do a whole like episode on that, so let me know if you want to see it. It was really good and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm already rewatching season two, so you'll get season two whenever I'm done and get around to it. The show is on Netflix, and if you are interested in documentaries so you can kind of cross-reference the show with real life, I'm going to give you like a few YouTube channels you can probably check out. The Timeline channel, obviously, they do a lot of documentaries. They do more than just royal stuff. If you want primarily just royal documentaries, check out the channel Real Royalty. I watched a lot of that to cross-reference stuff and got a lot of information from that channel. As well as there's a YouTuber named Lindsay Holiday, and she does really shorter, more condensed versions of royal history, and she talks about kings and queens and all that stuff. So if you like that, you should check her channel out. So I mean, I guess this is my first actual review. I'm actually reviewing something. I don't really want to do a score, so I mean, watch it if you don't want to. Don't watch it. It's a good show. It drags sometimes because it's very slow building, so especially season one. The first episodes of all the seasons will be very slow building. If you only care about Charles and Diana, I would suggest you just skip right to season four, but you will miss a lot of story that goes on in seasons one through three. There are important details in every episode, and every episode covers a significant amount of time. Each season takes up to about 10 years. So, like, that's all you need to know before you go and watch it. So, happy watching. I'll be back with another episode later. Bye. Gotta do a little housekeeping. We are officially under listener support. So, if you want, you can donate anything from $1 to $10 a month. And I will shout you out in the comments. Or, well, not in the comments. I'll shout you out at the end of the video. So, if you want to, click the link in my information bar and I will send you right to my page where you can help support the podcast. And thanks for listening. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.